It is
4ZZZ,
my dudes.
Recorded live at 4ZZZ Studios and broadcast across Brisbane on 102.1 FM.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Text in on 0420 626 733.
G'day Cheekies, welcome to Zed Games, and it is Wednesday, my dude.
Hi.
I already hate it.
Good. So, my name is Millie. I'm here in the studio with Jack, Kosh, and Rani, who's playing Dino Dash. She's here for Sick Bands today.
Yes.
So, Jack, you're interviewing someone today.
I'm speaking
Please
with
introduce us to this person.
Giselle Rosman. So, they are very much involved with the Melbourne development community. They have an official title. I've forgotten what it is. Everyone's checking their headphones. It's fine. I'll fix it in a sec.
Okay.
And she's going to talk about Locomo Jam, which is basically a game jam on a train.
Interesting.
Okay,
so
sick.
It's an event that starts in Brisbane. So for Brisbane devs that might be listening or students that might be listening and they're like, Melbourne flights are kind of pricey. I'm not sure a train would be less expensive, actually.
I think a train would be just as expensive.
just expensive on the mental psyche, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're making an entire game on that train on the way down isn't great.
Yeah. Wait, so which train, though? Because there isn't really a train that goes from Brisbane
there
to Melbourne.
There is now.
No, there's been one for a while. Mate, that's the whole point of Roma Street.
Okay.
Like, regional services?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you can go to Rockhampton if you really want to. Or you could go to Sydney and Melbourne.
You go to Cairns.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't. So, yeah. First of all, don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Yep.
And, yeah, so you can get on a train in Brisbane, go on that train through Sydney to Melbourne, make a game, and then you arrive at Melbourne International Games Week, which is best known for PAX, probably, but also for Game Connect Asia Pacific, which is the biggest game dev conference in the Asia Pacific region.
MEO this weekend as well?
Oh, yeah.
No.
No.
Melbourne International Games Week is PAX week, man.
No, but I mean Melbourne, like, for all the gaming stuff.
Oh, yeah. But different week.
Yeah, different week.
MEO is this week, but no, none of us got
it. Just tying into the Melbourne theme.
I wish I would. I have to go to a wedding. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway.
Roasted live on air.
And then, yeah. So, Melbourne International Games Week, Unite Melbourne.
Melbourne's got a big week for games.
Mega Dev.
A
lot of drinking. Yeah. Lots of drinking. So much drinking.
Always drinking.
Just hard cut to that picture of you at the Bethesda party.
Yeah, pretty much.
Trying to headbutt a balloon.
Can I please?
Look, I had fun. I also had a lot of free drinks.
So we found it. Basically, there's this agency, this travel agency for gamers that I worked for a little bit. I was doing video production for them, but they had a website, like a landing page where you could sign up to get news about upcoming like products, basically. And on the landing page, there's this picture of like two gamers, like right in the middle of it, but you see in the corner of the screen, Kosh, and he's just like, like ready to headbutt. So he's like very wide-eyed. Sorry, I should probably just go. Welcome to radio. He's very wide-eyed, probably a bit smashed.
Yeah, maybe.
Ready to.
A bit,
well, I mean,
a bit.
There was probably a tab, like an open.
Oh, no, it was open. It was great. Yeah.
I tried to get into that one, and Kosh didn't let me in. Just so you, just in case you forgot.
Wow.
I tried messaging Benstead, and I couldn't get in. Heartbroken.
This year,
I will get in.
Yeah, yeah. If they have.
Oh, they will.
Yep.
Bethesda has more money than God.
Can I come?
Yeah, you can. Well, I mean, are you coming to Melbourne for PAX?
I guess now.
Yeah!
Yeah, let's all go to Melbourne.
I heard it was an open bar and I was like,
yeah,
okay,
pretty much. But yeah, basically, Kosh got hammered and there's this picture of him online, which is fantastic. So I'm talking to Giselle Rosman, back to the topic. Yeah, she was, like I said, very much involved in the Melbourne development scene, game dev scene in Australia in general. And she's going to tell us about Locomo Jam, which is the first time it's happening in Australia. Happened multiple times in, I believe, America? Not sure. Mm. But we'll find out.
Yep.
Oh, I feel like probably Amtrak does a lot of sorts of different things. Like, they have writers in residence where you can literally just write a book on a train across America.
Fun.
And they'll pay you.
That's interesting.
Oh, that's actually, I wouldn't mind doing that.
I also wouldn't mind doing that. But they don't run it every year.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't mind just getting paid to write in general.
Look.
I mean, maybe. Welcome back to Bullying Rani live on air. Sorry.
How's that English
degree
going?
This is my entire life. I'm nearly done, okay? I'll be out in a month and a half or
something. I'm so proud of
something
you.
Something like that.
You did well. You got a degree. Like me, I don't use it sometimes.
You used it.
You are using it right
once.
Now.
Yeah. This is using that degree.
Don't.
Evie literally went to study game design because of this show.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm not using my animation portion, but
yeah. You know. Also, just sidebar, rip to Evie. Evie was meant to come back in case you're a long time listener. You're probably not, but
you're probably not
long, long time.
We
like,
might
I'm,
have.
I'm talking before like the kids came in and took over.
Yeah,
the inmates running the asylum.
Yeah.
That's just triple Z in general, actually. But Evie was part of the old guard. Went to study games. I took over. I'm the captain now. And now she has a chest infection.
Yum.
So, no.
We love phlegm.
Z-licious.
I love when I cough and some phlegm comes up.
We
you
love
know?
Look, we're all a bit sick. That's
phlegm
fine.
Phlegm is great.
We
I'm
dodged
not
it
sick.
During
I just
Echo
have
Week.
Flu lungs.
That's fair. So, yeah, I'm talking with Giselle Rosman. That's the point. Millie, you're talking about...
Devotion.
Devotion, which is a game that got removed from sale across the world because of China. But we're not going to go into detail about that. You can Google search, but you're just going to talk about the horror elements.
Kind of. I'm more talking about like the why it's good.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Horror thriller.
It good.
And Kosh.
More VR.
More VR. I'm VR just, porn? I'm,
VR no, porn?
Just VR.
Boo.
Probably a lot of beating of sabers though.
Okay.
That doesn't sound healthy.
I mean, look, sure.
Yeah.
When is what's that porn convention?
Sexpo. It's been
and gone.
Next year, you'll need to get press passes.
I
to
really
want to
go. Seriously,
we can do that.
We can do that.
I want to go to Sexpo so bad, just so I can just
lock
watch
it in, boys.
Just so I want to watch that GIF that we watched.
I just really
want to
go
at an anime convention.
Incredible
in VR.
I just really want to go so that I can make a video for the Zed Games social media account. And it's just like me
it's just all
recording
sensitive.
People, but just like with just walking around the Brisbane Convention Centre with boners. Anyway,
I want to Zed
Games.
Well,
this is Zed Games. I mean, at least we're not talking about soup.
It's going to
so
chat with
that's
Zed
all
Games.
Coming up. Ronnie's here for good banter.
Yes, always.
And is the resident studio goblin.
Yes.
She's a bit cold in the studio right now.
I am freezing.
It's cold for the first time in here, and I think since I started on this show.
This will be nice in the summer, though.
It's true.
It is. Before, but it smells more like feed. So.
Before we get into... all of that, though, here's the week in video game news. Across Australia on community radio and TV, this is your weekly Zed Games news update. The South Australian government has appointed a new screen advisory committee and introduced a games innovation fund. The $300,000 fund is available to South Australian developers working on new games for global audiences, with up to $25,000 available per project. Additionally, 15 South Australian game developers will be supported to attend Australia's biggest game dev conference, GCAP. Minister for Innovation and Skills, David Pasoni, commented on these additions, saying, quote, "The creation and retention of original South Australian IP is fundamental to growing the sector and will help SA tap into this lucrative market," end quote. At Gamescom in Germany, Nintendo's Indie World Showcase confirmed release dates for upcoming games and revealed new games coming to the Switch. Some of the highlights include Xbox exclusive Ori and the Blind Forest arriving in late September, Dungeon Crawler Torchlight 2 arriving in early September, roguelike Risk of Rain arriving in the next month or so, and Matrix shooter Superhot already available on the eShop. These announcements come as multiple gaming outlets have had hands-on impressions with the Switch Lite, impressed with its build quality, color selection, and performance. Switch Lite is set to release in Australia on September 20th. According to a report published by Vice, Microsoft contractors have listened to Xbox user voice recordings in order to improve console voice command features. While these recordings should only happen after voice commands like Xbox or Hey Cortana, contractors said that recordings were sometimes triggered and recorded by mistake. Anonymous contractors said that many of these accidental voice recordings between 2014 and 15 were of children, but as time went on, less accidental recordings were made as the feature improved. In response to the article, Microsoft confirmed with Vice that these recordings were no longer recorded as of a few months ago, with, quote, "no plans to restart those reviews," end quote. That's all for now. For more gaming updates, be sure to check out at New Game Plus TV and at ZED Games AU on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You're listening to Zed Games. My name is Jack. I'm in studio with Millie, Ronnie, and Kosh.
Hi.
And we are joined on the phone, by Giselle Rosman, the organizer. I mean, you're involved with Locomo Jam. What is your role with Locomo Jam, Giselle?
I'm the organiser, I guess. Creative Victoria came to me with this idea and said, we don't know who else might be able to pull this off. You've run a lot of game jams, so let's give it a go. Hello, everyone.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Giselle Rosman. So I know you because I tend to see your name pop up a lot in a lot of game dev groups, a lot of game dev discussions in general. you mentioned there that you've done a lot of game jams. Where did you sort of start, and how has it sort of been running all of those events and getting to know not only the Melbourne industry, but sort of the Australia, the APAC?
Oh, and the global industry. Yeah. Okay, I'll try and do this really quickly. Yeah. It goes a long
a
way.
A bit of a big question.
With a group of people, I restarted IGDA, the International Game Developers Association chapter, back down here in Melbourne, when everything was looking very bad in the games industry around 2009. And, you know, about a year later, I heard about Global Game Jam, which sounded like a great way for small groups to make little games together and, you know, build that community that we'd been developing through meetups. And so we started Melbourne Game Jam in 2011, and we had 70 jammers. Next year will be our 10th game jam, and we've made it to a maximum of 310 jammers at once, but last year we had 240, and that seemed really nice and sweet, so I'm sticking with that from now. I also spent a couple of years as the executive producer of Global Game Jam globally, and working in every time zone in the world is very challenging, but also hugely rewarding to meet people from all over the world that are just like, I just want to make cool, fun games with people. So it's a funny little habit of mine, but it's been really good for people to get an experience of either making their first game or working with people they've never worked with before, or just, you know, breaking out the crazy ideas that you might not be able to do if you're working on, you know, a longer term project.
So as far as Locomo Jam goes, I noticed in the press release that this is sort of inspired by train jams in the US. Is that an event that you've been involved with previously, been to? Where have you sort of been around that?
I have not been able to. I have two children, so adding a trip to Chicago to any of my GDC trips is a little bit tricky. Yeah. I did one of the first years. I've met with Adriel and know her quite reasonably as both jam organizers. So for those who don't know, the train jam runs from Chicago to San Francisco in the lead up to the Game Developers Conference that runs in March each year there. It's huge. They take a whole train now. And I'm also incredibly jealous of what they have on their trains. For example, PowerPoints.
Yeah, I think
we were
anyone
doing
would
a
be
bit of research last night, and we've discovered that like it's the XBT trains will be on, and they first hit the tracks in 1987.
so probably not okay. This time.
Yeah,
yeah. So we're wondering about space and power, and there's lots of amazing challenges. I've learned so much about. Not just, you start with your battery pack, so that's not it. So portable power station is the way to go. So there's lots of really interesting challenges with this one. You know, we obviously can't all take our disc tops. We have to travel light. We have a 10-15 minute walk to where we're staying in Sydney overnight. So we've got to be able to sort of schlep all our stuff across town.
And this is like a bunch of devs getting down to Melbourne International Games Week as well.
Yeah.
So they're not packing light usually.
That's right. We've actually got a couple of people flying up to Brisbane to come back down to Melbourne. Keen. This is kind of kicking off Melbourne International Games Week this year, which is very exciting. We're hoping for about 40 jammers. I really didn't want to push it to make it too huge because I want to see that we could do it. Let's do proof of concept first. You know, applications are going really well. We haven't got too many places left. So if there's anyone out there going, that sounds amazing, it's actually one of the cheapest ways you'll get from Brisbane to Melbourne.
That $80 ticket, does that cover the train ride and accommodation from Brisbane to Melbourne?
Thank you mostly to Creative Victoria also Unreal Engine. Yes, that covers, that's your train ticket. Sydney, we will be slumming it, in a sense. It will be great for what we need, as long as you didn't want a private bedroom or something.
Pretty sure the rest of Sydney's used to it.
We're going to be staying at AIE in Sydney. I had the fun challenge, which I've just finally worked out today. It's all right. We will have mattresses.
Nice.
I found someone who will hire, you know, rent me 50 mattresses for a night.
So you're planning on having 40 people sign up. You've got a sort of a limit of 40 people. You haven't taken over a full XBT train by the looks.
No, we actually, I should have thought about this a little bit more. I've got on reserve, I've got 60 tickets. So that's for the jammers and for the, like, I've got the crew that's been running Melbourne Global Game Jam, who make me look so good, are mostly coming up to be the helpers again with this one. So we'll have those. If any media wants to come along for the ride, they're welcome. We still haven't had anyone actually commit to the whole trip yet. But we'd love to have you on board. It'll be fun.
Ooh, that's we might take you up on that, actually.
Yeah.
I might bring that up later.
Yeah, definitely.
Jack's walk down to Melbourne.
I'll already be in Melbourne, so that's actually on you.
Oh, yeah.
So
do that. You can do that. Well,
yeah, do it. Delegation is the best.
100% on air. So this is the first time that it's being run. I guess, is the theme of the jam, like, around the train itself? Because typically jams have themes that people have to design to. Is that what's happening?
That's right. We will have a theme. We're still working on that. So I can't accidentally let it slip.
Okay.
So that's good. You know, obviously the train is something we're considering whilst thinking about what the theme should be. Because I've always found it super interesting to see how games are impacted by the environments in which they're made. Mm. As a quick way to sort of explain that, I've run Melbourne Global Game Jam on a few different sites. We started at La Trobe Uni, where they've got lots of moats and there's heaps of water and open space and trees and ducks and all sorts of things.
Very Melbourne.
And yeah. So we got a lot of water-based games.
Right.
And then we moved to the old AIE Melbourne site, which is the old Melbourne House, Atari House, that's, I think it's been knocked down since then. But it's just a big, you know, it's an office building. It's a block. You spend so much time waiting for lifts and getting in lifts that you end up with a lot of platformers.
Right. So you expect a similar situation happening with Locomotive.
Yeah, so I'll be interested to see, how the environment affects the design decisions that people are making as they go.
Cool. With the application as well, because if you are interested, you're listening in Brisbane or around the country on the Community Radio Network, you can go to gamesweek.melbourne/allaboardlocojam. There are dashes between all aboard and locojam. All sort of skill types are welcome here. Can you speak a little bit to how seasoned developers work along, like, for people who aren't necessarily across game dev and game jams, trying to get very early on in their careers, like student developers, to work alongside very seasoned developers. What sort of situations or struggles do you as a developer, as an organizer, have to deal with in that situation?
Generally, it can work really well, especially when you do get some mixed groups. The biggest challenge often is people always want to work with their mates, which is totally understandable, and that's fine. But it's a really good opportunity to work with someone that you couldn't otherwise. And I'm always been really blessed with having quite a range of developers and experience levels, and having quite a few seasoned ones who generally, like, they're at a jam, they know they're going to be having to help and, you know, guide the newer devs around. I've had people who've never ever made a game before come in and make a game as part of a team. You know, particularly because we will be having to be light on electricity, we'll probably have to do, you know, like, I'd really recommend that everyone's, you know, doing their first kind of thinking and prototyping on paper. So, you know, there's no technical restrictions to say, oh, no, I don't know how to use Unreal with that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, art can come in all sorts of different ways and sizes. You know, it's probably difficult to be the main programmer on a team if you're new, but that's all right,
because
that's not what you'd want to do anyway. it generally works quite well. Game jams have a really collegial kind of vibe. generally. It's we're all in this together, and we've got to get to the end of it together, which has always been wonderful. And we try and encourage that kind of behaviour as much as possible. I used to run game jams where they would have prizes, and that is something that I was really pleased when we decided that to try it without that, because then you're not feeling like you're competing with other teams. You won't have, you know, a bunch of fire monkeys walking to your jam.
Yeah,
and go, oh,
true.
We've got this.
Well, I mean, at the same time,
the first year students go, oh
no, no.
Yeah. At the same time, though, like those games are being shown at PAX weekend the following week. So, like, is there a place, like a space dedicated at PAX for that at the moment?
I believe so. I actually sent an email about that today, going, we really need to talk about what we're doing at PAX a bit more. We've got 37 hours for this jam. So usually jams, the sweet spot is usually around 48.
Right.
So it's a little bit shorter. And we've got to move, you know, we've got a train just before 6 a.m. from Brisbane on a Saturday morning. We get into Sydney at about 8 something on Saturday night. We schlep across to AIE. We grab some food, recharge everything, go hooray Wi-Fi.
Hooray mattresses.
Yeah, someone to sleep.
Sit on the mattresses or be working on your games, try and get some kind of balance with these things. And then we're back out on the train from Sydney to Melbourne at about 7:30 Sunday morning. And we get in about 6 o'clock Sunday night.
And that's it, Southern Cross.
I do wonder what we do at the end, but mostly collapse.
Yeah.
Probably the plan.
Recover for Melbourne International Games Week by the sounds.
Yeah, that's right. And then straight into the CCAP. And
oh, man.
No rest.
What a...
The awards night. I just wanted to start this week really tired. And I have been running since PAX came down here. I've been running Mega Dev, which is the end of Games Week industry party.
And it can be quite intense.
About 600 people. So I get to literally go from the very first to the very last event this year, which is glorious.
Oh, goodness.
We will also be having, I might just do a quick plug on that because I can't tell you when because I can't remember because I didn't think of it till then. But we'll be having a train jam panel at PAX as well. Ah. So you can come and find out some of the stories there. We'll have some jammers, some organisers, maybe some media. I'm still finalising the panel, but that should be a good little chat too.
Look, honestly, I probably will be hitting you up after this to talk media stuff.
Yeah,
but as far as Locomo Jam, apart from that gamesweek.melbourne website I mentioned earlier and the Google form for people to sign up, is there anything else and any sort of ways that people can find out more?
I have quietly started a Twitter, but it's named itself strangely, so I'm kind of struggling with that a bit.
Okay.
And I don't know how to fix it. So I'm going to try again with that. And I'll make that a bit more public, but we will certainly I'm hoping everyone will hashtag, I guess Locomo Jam isn't too long. It's always interesting to see where
on
those
Twitter.
Hashtags actually end up. But I would imagine Twitter will be a place to follow along from home for those who are interested. Assuming we can, you know, get internet connection. Yeah. All the way down the coast.
Yeah, true. I mean, let's see how many people have Telstra on the train down. So
that's right.
That is Locomo Jam. That's happening from Brisbane to Melbourne. That is on the date I had up a second ago. That is 5th to the 6th. Yes. And then it's straight into Melbourne International Games Week. For more information, you can head straight to gamesweek.melbourne/all-aboard-locomojam. Giselle, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Are you coming on the show?
Pleasure. You should come on the train and then we'll be even.
Talk to you soon. I'll talk to you well before Games Week, but good luck getting everything working for Locomo Jam and Mega Dev and everything else that you do because it's mental. Anyway, you're listening to Zed Games.
Roasted, Caitlin.
And Millie.
Hi.
You put this game in chat.
I did.
What you said was, I want to talk about this game. I haven't played it, but I've watched it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Listen, I have a Mac. Leave me alone.
That's also fair, but...
And it was taken off of Steam.
So I will quickly say, because you'll probably not... I mean, you didn't really address this in the points.
I addressed
it. Okay, cool. Well, then, tell us about the game.
Okay. So basically, this is a really quick rundown of it, and then I want to have a little off-the-cuff chat about why I like it so much and why it really stood out to me.
That part can be off-the-cuff. Good.
Yeah, of course.
Not the China part. China.
So devotion is what it's called, and the literal Chinese translation means fulfill a vow, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's a first-person psychological horror video game.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yes.
Ronnie said deadpan and she just like stared at me across the street.
Sounds like fun.
I can feel the sarcasm.
Oh, God. That is fun. Sounds like fun.
Look,
like,
in comparison to my life right now. But yes, really, keep going.
That's fair.
It was created by a Taiwanese game designer, Red Candle Games, for Steam. That's it.
Designer? Like one person?
Developer.
Or like a team. Okay, cool.
Developer, sorry. My bad. I can't read.
Read a book.
It's set in Taiwan in the 1980s, which is really interesting. And the majority of the game is happening in one apartment in Taipei. The game also incorporates elements based on Taiwanese culture and folk religion. So.
Cool.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. So
turn your mic up a little bit as
it's
well.
It's really interesting.
Bring yourself up.
Oh, yeah.
Don't bring us down. Bring yourself up.
I will bring you down. It's my job.
Okay. I was being positive.
I am the Titanic.
Bring yourself.
You gotta go up before you can go down.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That, before you sink.
So wait, what's the iceberg?
Me. I'm self-sabotaging.
I'm so happy I'm leaving the show to you for like a few weeks.
It's that meme where the guy is holding a gun and there's another guy behind him holding a gun.
Trust no one except yourself. It's the Spider-Man meme.
Yeah. Back to devotion.
So you are the player of the troubled screenwriter. I spelled his name wrong. Good one.
Incredible.
So his name is Fang Yu, basically. Through his family's apartment throughout the years of the 1980s. Your family consists of Go Li Fang, who's your wife and a retired singer, and your daughter Mei Xin, who is an aspiring child singer.
So he's a troubled screenwriter.
Yes. And he does a lot of smoking.
Married to a musician. Man, this is sounding a lot like my life. Like,
okay, sorry.
Literally, we didn't even call you out on that. Like, you're just bullying yourself at this point.
Yeah,
like,
I can do that, though.
I mean, you can. Like,
yeah.
Look, this show peaked a while ago, mate. It's fine.
Okay. Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
Moving on.
So, your career has stagnated, and Mei Xin begins to show signs of a mysterious illness causing domestic drama within the family.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So Mei Xin tries to help you by entering a singing contest, but she fails at moving on the competition, causing her condition to worsen. Feng Yu, instead of following doctor's orders, begins to follow the teachings of a cult leader.
Classic.
Yeah, so I won't spoil it, but let's just say it doesn't end well.
No, I mean, you can spoil it, because like, the game, you can't purchase the game anymore.
Yeah, no, let's just say your daughter dies. you killed her.
There it is. Yeah, that's it.
You killed her. By following a cult leader's advice to like leave her in a bathtub for 5 days. Good one.
Who would have guessed?
I never would have thought that leaving my child in a bathtub for 5 days would kill
you. Vaxxers.
That doesn't sound healthy. That doesn't sound healthy at all.
Yeah. That doesn't sound hot.
No.
It doesn't sound hot. No. I love baths.
Super hot.
So Devotion draws a lot of inspiration from games like PT and Layers of Fear.
I was going to say PT kind of comes to
PT,
mind. Yeah.
Hugely PT. The developer one. And I find it really interesting that the developer wanted to showcase an atmosphere that Taiwanese players would feel familiar with, because he stated, I think it's a he, I'm sorry if it's not.
They
stated that they feel like Taiwanese people are never represented, or Taiwanese culture is never represented in games at all. And it's so heavy.
China, ooh, yeah.
That did something.
Touch the mic.
And it's so heavily influential. Like, there's no English in the game whatsoever. It's only the subtitles.
Oh, I love that.
So everything is in the local language. Yep. I'm not quite sure what dialect it is, so I'm not going to speak.
In Taiwan, I believe it's like a Taiwanese, like Hokkien, I think, is the branch of Chinese that they speak there.
Yeah. So
if it's not, text in 0420626733. What are you speaking?
Taiwan. Yeah.
We don't know.
It's super interesting, though. I really enjoy the psychological aspects of it, because it speaks a lot to the downfall of the character's mental health.
Right.
Your wife is never shown except in a mannequin form, and your face is never shown. Your face is blurred out of every single photo. You don't have a reflection.
Interesting.
You don't exist, kind of.
So you're a vampire.
Yeah, kind of.
Twilight.
No reflection. Yeah.
We sparkle in sunlight. So basically what you're doing is you're going through each year, but the way you enter a year is that you go through your apartment door and you end up in the same apartment, but things have changed. So at one year, there's just mannequins everywhere that represent your wife.
Run. Like, I was terrifying, terrifying. And shut that down.
Most years you can't open the daughter's room at all, right. But all you hear from the daughter's room is crying.
Man.
Yeah.
So, horror games, stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
And eventually, your daughter and your wife are represented by mannequins, like I said, but your daughter is like this little baby doll dressed in like a little sunshine dress.
Oh, no.
And then like you turn around at what, like, and every time you find a clue, which is the only thing you can really interact with, you have to put it back into the place it was in that year.
Oh, God.
So throughout the years, you can find, say, like a tapioca. I'm going to say tapioca because it's not fondant. Fondant. Right. A fondant ballerina that goes on a birthday cake, but there's no birthday cake in that year. So you go to a different year and you put the birthday cake ballerina on that cake. And all of a sudden it gives you all the memories of Meishin's birthday and how distant you were when she was trying to have a birthday. And
the mother
was like, come over. And you were just like, no, I'm writing a screenplay. I'm going to smoke 10 cigarettes. And the daughter's crying. And like,
so that part sounding like my life.
Oh, yeah.
But, crap.
But so as we've heard, the game was taken off of Steam, but not because of any explicit content, not because of any psychological horror.
Well,
it was taken.
Well,
it was taken off of Steam due to a political cartoon within the game representing the China's Parliament. Paramount leader as Winnie the Pooh.
So there was a lot of memes going around where, Xi Jinping was like being...
Thank you for like, pronouncing his name.
Like, kind of compared to the Winnie the Pooh meme, like with the former Winnie the Pooh with the monocle. Yeah. Like, ooh. That one, that was happening a lot. And that obviously doesn't really fly in China.
They also said that he looks like Winnie the Pooh too, like his whole face looks like Winnie the Pooh.
So there was some content in there that was apparently the developer
it was a political cartoon.
Well, it was a placeholder. Yes, they did not mean to put that in the game.
No.
And Chinese players noticed it, picked up on it, was like, what is this?
And they laughed about it, obviously. But
maybe not Chinese characters.
No, some of them did. They loved
players.
They loved it. It was a meme, but then it got traction.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not meant to do that.
So what happened was, as much as the global version of Steam is still kind of available in China, it's kind of a bit on ice.
Yeah,
the publisher has, I think, been blacklisted in some capacity from China.
He doesn't have the game up anymore. It's not on Steam.
Oh, but like the publisher is separate from the developer.
Yeah, they completely separated.
So they kind of copped it.
Yeah,
and yeah, they've taken the game down to be like,
it's not going back up ever, which is really disappointing because I think I read that over 400 or something players around that still have the game, but they obviously can't get updates or anything on it now. So
is it going to be the new Flappy Bird?
So it's like you need to get a PC.
I'm pretty sure
that's back up on the App Store, mate.
Or clones of it.
PT or whatever. Limited edition, but it's actually limited.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like that Steam situation where it's like, it's in your library, you just can't purchase it.
Yeah.
So many games are like that where the publishers don't have the license to sell it, but because of terms of service, they are obliged to continue to provide it to existing users.
Yep. Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise me. But you could just make like an Australian and pirate. Because obviously you can't buy the game at this point. Like, we can't play, legally, we can't play Hotline Miami 2. Was that one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was on the Australian eShop for a day before Nintendo was like, oh, crap. And it got taken down.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely a mistake. Yeah, legit. They were like, ACB is like, wait, that was refused. No, stop that.
Not allowed it. Bad. Slap on the wrist.
Like,
stop
it.
Positive drug effects? Shut it down.
No.
Classic.
I have becoming a trend.
Look, ACB. Look,
yeah, Far Cry still sold.
It's not actually defamatory towards the ACB because that's literally just what they do.
Yeah.
So
you're doing a good job, guys. You're doing a good job.
You're doing.
They're doing a job.
So yeah, that was a sort of background as to why you can't buy the game anymore. When was it taken down?
Recently? It was quite difficult to actually find an accurate date, but from what Wikipedia, the most trusted source, it just said February 2019, I'm pretty sure, so that's it. That's all I got.
February 23rd, I guess 2019, because it released this year.
Yeah, so.
Holy crap, it was 4 days.
Yep.
It was up for four. He developed a god. It was 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Yep.
yeah. That'd be a real bit of a bummer. Like one small mistake after, you know, how much development, and then
it's a very,
it just gets taken down like
it's
that.
It's such a like well developed game too. It's so polished.
Yeah.
And it's very disappointing. I recommend, like, if you can do naughty things and
be an Australian.
It. Yeah, I would recommend playing it because it's very, very good, and it's a really good representation of what cult mentality can do to people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll have a look if we can, you know, if someone else can get a help. Well, have you still got it downloaded?
No, she never played it.
You never played it. You wanted to play it.
Right. I want to play it so bad.
I am Jack. I'm in studio with Millie, Kosh, and Ronnie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Kosh.
I was jamming. Yes.
Are you still playing VR games?
I'm always playing VR games.
How much VR porn are you watching?
None.
All of it.
I'm a good boy.
He said lying. Very, very straight. Just none.
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 None. Mum.
Just no, like,
just pushes all the boxes.
No,
and
Kosh, it's time to put your VR porn away. No, stop it. You're gonna go blind. Stop it.
I'm turning off.
Put
my
it
monitor.
Away.
But it's in 4K. I'm gonna have seen this high def,
dude. Macro shots. Anyway,
360 cams.
Do not get started.
Sorry,
on
sorry.
Macro shots.
Macro shots. Anyway, sorry. VR. You're playing VR games.
Yeah.
One or two.
Two.
Seven.
Talk about them briefly.
They're very similar. So if you have seen any type of rhythm game, Guitar Hero, DJ Hero, Rock Band, all of that stuff, I love those.
Guitar Hero on the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, obviously.
That four.
Yeah.
That never happened.
Classic. No, I love that. No, I think that's honestly so good.
It was so clever.
Because it was like so, like seeing that versus like Rock Band on the PSP, I'm like mad. I'm playing in guitar.
No, that's.
Whereas funny. Like with the DS, you're like, yeah, you're like jamming out. Sorry, so rhythm games.
Yeah, so adapt that into the virtual world, and you've basically got both Beat Saber and Synth Riders.
Yes.
To varying degrees. So I've played a lot of Beat Saber, and it's a music-based rhythm game, but in your Vive controllers, in my case, Vive controllers, are two swords. And instead of your guitar or your drums or your microphone, you're slashing your swords to the beat of the music.
You have lightsabers.
You basically have lightsabers.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
You use the force with that thing that Luke Skywalker has on his head to like use the force.
Yeah,
that's your VR.
So that's
headset.
The HTC Vive, yeah.
That's the HTC Vive, and then you've got lightsabers to slash boxes that have arrows on them.
I'm so tricky.
So it's a weird metaphor.
Mr. Galaxy Wide, yeah.
It's an older boxer, but it's fine.
So
anyway.
Lightsaber, I see a lot on Twitch.
Lightsaber. Yep.
Lightsaber.
Beat Saber.
Beat Saber, that one.
Yeah.
Beat Saber is really popular.
How good is it?
I want to play
so
Beat Saber.
Much fun.
So bad.
How much of a workout is it?
It's a lot of a workout. So
I get real sweaty.
And like I've got lights and stuff because I stream it as well.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh yeah, 5 hours of flailing around on with like probably, you know, shirt on.
Do
and
you
like
green screen
and
yourself into the
scene? No, I don't have that. I'm not that fancy yet, but I've got my setup. And dancing around like that for 5 hours when people do song requests and everything like that, and the song requests are like, try and play Through the Fire and the Flames on hard.
And you're like, no.
In Beat Saber. And then you try and you're like, this
and then
was
you
a
pass
mistake.
Out.
Yeah.
So Beat Saber's great. As far as song selection goes, do they keep adding songs? Or
they
do you have
keep
to buy
adding
songs?
Songs if you buy the packs, but there's a lot of modding going on in the scene at the moment, which is the best part. So there's like, I don't know, like 30 or 40 tracks, I think, in the base game, and then they varied in difficulty. Extra song packs by Imagine Dragons, Monster Cat, and there's another one that
what's
I don't
the one
know.
Imagine Dragons song you all remember?
Believer.
Radioactive!
Yeah, radioactive!
There it is.
Okay, all you people.
Yeah,
that's
that
fine. They have a bunch of those song packs if you collect them and buy them, but they also have mod packs.
Cool.
It's very, very open. I don't know how much the devs are like, you can mod this, but at the moment it seems very open.
So
it's
the
like
other
the
one,
Sims.
Yeah. Sims 3.
Sims 4. Mod's pretty good.
Can you mod? Okay. I wasn't too sure. Kate hasn't really spoken that much about
I
mods.
I think I need to find these mods for the Sims 4.
So yeah.
There's always mods.
Oh,
so Synth Riders, though. Synth Riders looks like Beat Saber, but like for weebs.
Kind of.
So I'm just going
to
show...
Hold on, I need to see this.
I'm just going
to
show your, like...
Oh, I mean,
oh,
no,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Definitely... For context, if you played OS, spelt like OSU,
yeah.
Exclamation mark, OS reminds me a lot of this.
Yeah. So that is kind of the thing where you're kind of clicking the circles, but, you know, with the different
avatars.
But in VR.
Yeah.
So I've got friends that much prefer Synth Riders because they're not doing the slashing motions to cut
the
boxes. Yeah. So people like that, but other people like to have more of a... Like a wavy, I don't know.
More intense experience.
It's definitely different.
Yeah.
It's like Beat Saber is very much more intense. Like it's more cardio active type things. I feel like Radioactive. Cardioactive. Yeah. Synthwriters is more your, I would say, more relaxing style. The tunes that are made for it are slower, and you're kind of moving your arms. It can be quick. But yeah, it's more of a, I'm holding this position and doing these arcs and these
poses. Yeah,
and stuff. It's still a lot of fun. It's still to the music of the beat. It's still got custom songs through mods and things like that. Custom avatars, things like that.
Cool.
But yeah, it's a lot of fun. And I'm excited to see, I guess, where we're going with that as well.
Good stuff.
More games that are going out, like the old like audio, what is it? Audio Surf.
Yeah, I remember. Old stuff
like that. Surf. Yeah, it's the next iteration of that stuff. So cool. I'm excited to see what's more.
I'm excited to see what you come up with next time on VR Talk.
I'll have to find something else.
Yeah. Being the jiggle physics.
Jiggle physics.
To VR.
Yeah.
So that's Sexpo.
Yeah.
No, sorry. That is it for this week. Thank you so much for hanging out. Check out Zed Games on C31 in Melbourne, C44 in Adelaide, and WTV in Perth, and FaceTV in New Zealand, because
that's impressive.
This news and a bunch of this content and our Game On special is actually going to be on TV next week, which is very exciting.
We're famous.
Watch our faces.
You can check out youtube.com/newgameplusTV for that content as well, or you can check us out on social media at ZEDGamesAU. We love and appreciate you. We'll see you next week.
Bye.